This interview is with Mrs. John Tilton. This taping is being produced in Moorhead State Recording Studio, April 2nd, 1985. The interviewer is June Dobrovich, representing the Heritage Education Society. Shirley, I know that you and your husband John have had deep roots in our Fargo Moorhead Community Theater. When did that involvement begin?
Well, actually, I think it began with our first interview in June of 1955. We came up here overnight to see if we would qualify and would like the job of John being hired as community theater resident director. And we met the officers of the board of directors at that time, and they held a picnic dinner for us. Mm-hmm. And we have never met five better people anywhere.
Well, it's hard to beat us, isn't it?
And
where
so
were you coming from, Shirley?
Rapid City, South Dakota. Mm-hmm. He had been resident director there for 5 years before. And he sold the people here and there, too, on a package deal that was that I would be there assisting, and they didn't have to pay me.
Mm-hmm.
And I accepted that because at the time, women would not necessarily have to work. We enjoyed that security at that point of being able to get married and raise a family, mm-hmm. something the young woman today doesn't have.
Mm, true.
And so I love to do things in the theater, and I, of course, love to act and direct, but I couldn't abuse that privilege. Mm-hmm. And I also enjoy and know the need for everything else to look lovely and to be right for that particular production.
So what period of time now are we talking about, Shirley? When did you come? I guess you did tell me that. How long did you stay? And I know your involvement with the theater was probably longer than John, so maybe you could clue us in on that.
All right. Well, then he officially began his duties as of September 1955 as resident director, and we stayed through the 1959-60 season, leaving in the summer of 1960. So that was 5 years, and they were just glorious. We loved to get involved, mm-hmm. and the theater, as usual, was always short of funds,
mm-hmm.
and it was fantastic what the ladies would do. Just to get funds together. And we saw a great growth at the time. We're able to produce some beautiful, magnificent productions like Diary of Anne Frank, Mad Woman of Shiloh, and christen, unfortunately, the new auditorium with the beautiful Carousel musical.
Yes, I'm going to ask you about some of those things, too, later, but I want to get in here right at this point now. What kinds of things, you did mention that you helped with stage sets. I know you did a lot of acting, were a real helpmate to John in every way. I can remember that. What kind of previous experience had you had in theater, Shirley? I mean, there must have been something besides just liking it.
Yes, I had started out wanting to go into the professional theater. And when I was 16 at home in Chicago, I joined the best little theater we had, and I was taking private acting lessons from the director. Of course, I was still in high school, and active in high school, too, but that was next to nothing compared to this great little theater.
Sure. Now then, when did you meet John, and how did you kind of combine your careers?
When I graduated high school, I went away as a special theater student to the University of Denver,
mm-hmm.
because they had one of the top five theater departments.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent 2 years there, and then I left for summer stock on Cape Cod, and then went on to New York for a year, and I was leading lady at Provincetown Playhouse in Greenwich Village. But I had the privilege of making $35 a week and starving,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a character leading lady.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I couldn't really have a big career until I was much older.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I wanted a family. And so the more I thought about it, and everything they had told me in the theater department at Denver, it said there's a whole field of theater out in the country. mm-hmm. across this country, and community theater struck my eye. So I thought maybe I could finish and get my degree and enter community theater. So I went back to Denver then in 1949, and I happened to meet my husband, mm-hmm. who was just starting his master's degree then in theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard about him, and he had heard about me, because he had just finished being back in stock and playing in the wintertime with the Boston Stock Company and so forth, and then went back to school to go into community theater.
Well, this gives me some background, sure.
So there we were.
Yeah.
And we got in a play together, and I'd say after about 1 week, we knew we were going to get married. We just had to wait a while.
Well, that gives us some background, Shirley. Not everyone who is active in the theater here has had the kind of background that you and John did, but I know that you continued for many years. And I guess now I'd like to find out from you, during those years that you were so active, I'm sure there were some recurring problems with the theater, and maybe now we could pull out some of those.
All right. The years between 55 and 60, the two biggest problems always were funds, mm-hmm. and the second problem was a theater building.
Mm-hmm.
We were at the mercy to rent something, and there weren't that many auditoriums available to us. And, of course, we bemoan the fact that your grand old Orpheum Theater had burned here. That would have made such an excellent playhouse. But anyway, before we came up here, the theater had played in a church once, and they played at Weld Hall, and then at Ben Franklin. So anyway, we pretty much played at Ben Franklin when we were here.
Mm-hmm.
But we had problems. They would allow us to move the scenery in on Saturday, but we weren't allowed in the building on Sunday. And then Monday we could come in and set up for dress rehearsal. And we have three dress rehearsals and then open the show Thursday. And this made it a little taxing,
sure.
to say the least, because you had to have everything ready and set to go.
Lots of difficulties that they don't have now. What ways do you feel that the community was supportive of the theater, even in those days?
Oh, yes, definitely. The people literally would throw open their homes if they had anything that we could use
mm-hmm.
for a play.
Mm-hmm. And what about, was it difficult to get actors, set builders, that sort of thing?
Yeah, occasionally it was, because people would have conflicts in work schedules, things they were committed to.
Mm-hmm.
And of course there were so many plays that have huge cast of men.
Mm-hmm.
So men were always a difficulty. But my husband had a knack somehow of talking men into playing a role.
Mm-hmm.
And he got men from the community of all ages.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a great help, because at times I have seen community theaters where they resort to mostly young boys or college age.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all right when you go to see a college production,
mm-hmm.
and the college young men are playing those roles. But when you're in a community theater setup, if you see a 50-year-old woman on stage, and she is playing to her husband on stage who's really only 19 years old, wearing a beard,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't always come off that way if
mm-hmm.
you're very, you know,
sure.
close.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a great help for all of the variety of people he was able to get out and fill those roles in their enthusiasm.
Shirley, because you've had such a long history with the theater, I think that I would be interested in knowing, if you can recall, some of the names that come to your mind quickly during that period.
Oh,
perhaps
absolutely.
People that
you had, over the years, you've had a few actors here who were absolutely Broadway material. No two ways about it. And I'm not saying that you didn't have several other dozens who could make it,
mm-hmm.
but a few that really had it. Number one, Jerry Mulready.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of this community is aware of him. And I can remember the first play he was in for my husband was The Rainmaker.
Mm-hmm.
He played the sheriff in it. or maybe the deputy. It was a cast of men except for one woman. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget the first rehearsal. Don Bishop, I believe, was playing the sheriff. I hadn't met him before. And he'd been on and off the board and been one of the founders. And he was kind of soft-spoken, came across as perhaps a little difficult to become acquainted with. And our little girl was 2.5 or just going on 3 then. And she used to love to be with the people because we lived in the apartment that was right next to the rehearsal hall. And it wasn't soundproof, so I kept her up in the evening, and she'd visit with the actors. She used to come in then with her little tea set. And I saw Don Bishop and these other grown men sitting around having a tea party with her.
That sounds like fun.
And so anyway, we had those people, H.B. Teichman, longtime resident, Paul Corinne Earhart, Scott Beach, who was here at the time briefly for 2 years at teaching at Concordia, and of course, George Nassif, Doss Atkins, a mailman from Moorhead, who felt he could never get up in front of people, but loved to put around on scenery. Mm-hmm. But John was desperate one time. Talked him into something with just a few lines. And after that, that man became head of the PTA in Moorhead later, and was an after-dinner speaker.
Some of the hidden benefits of a life in the theater. What are some of those benefits that have accrued to you? I mean, what are the kinds of things that as you look back over your life, and you're still living, we're not indicating that you're going to leave us very soon, but what are the things that you particularly savor of your life in the theater?
Well, I know personally it helped me keep a normal attitude toward life in general, because I had a rather traumatic early teenage life with my parents dying. Mm-hmm. And the theater was a way I could express myself. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a tremendous help emotionally to me. And I think that's why I felt the need, aside from wanting this as a career, that I could not do it just career conscious-wise. Mm-hmm. I had to have that family support. Mm-hmm. And I wanted my own family. And that's why community theater was so excellent for John and I, where we could have our children and the house with the picket fence around it and the dog, see, which we always did.
Well, have any of your children followed in your footsteps? Are any of them working in theater anywhere?
Well, not really. They all love the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And our daughter has done a lot of work over the years in theaters, wherever she's been, aside from attending it. And our son is puttered, eldest son. But then he's technically inclined. And then the one son, Anthony, was very active, and he's working on TV now, and he would like to go into films.
Mm-hmm. What I'm just thinking of the various problems, you mentioned money. What means of financial support was there for the theater in those days? We know it's changed now, but what was there, and were those funds sufficient, Shirley?
Well, aside, of course, from the basic ticket drive, which we sold really reasonable, then we would have little rummages, and they began to be, I think, a monthly affair. And then when we had to raise a lot of funds for the big musical, the ladies got together and had a special auction type of thing called Object Art. And it was fantastic antique things that were donated for that. And the women of the Fine Arts Club were always there to be a boost to us. And so was the League.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Margette family, were they involved at the time that you were?
Yes. And, of course, now they were always good for publicity. Fanny was still alive in the early years that we were here, you know, and they had their radio show. Mm-hmm. And then
I remember him telling me that He was the only man on radio who had his fanny there with him.
right. And then when their son Luke came home, and with his bride Carol, then they were active. And then my husband thought it'd be great if they started the season with kind of a big party. And so we called it Theater Cabaret. And we started it in 1959. And it was very successful at the Elks Club. It raised several hundred dollars. And that was more or less to get the women active who weren't just part of the theater, but just interested in culture.
Mm-hmm. What, as you see it, we've talked about what benefits you personally feel you've derived, but what benefit is the theater, do you feel, to the community itself?
Oh, it's a chance for expression. And just as I pointed out about the loss, the wonderful mailman, everyone has got to express themselves, to communicate in their lifetime. It's not a question of just how well you can speak or how long you can speak. It's being able to say what you feel without apologizing for it or disguising it, because you might feel it's embarrassing. And I think any time we have an opportunity to get up and speak before people, we lose those inhibitions. And any time we can hear somebody directly, we respond to it. Now, I would, I know there are courses taught sometimes now purely on film, or shall I say by the computer. But I don't think there's any substitute for that classroom teacher.
Yes, I I agree with you. Well, Shirley, I've certainly enjoyed visiting with you. Can you think of some kinds of things that perhaps I haven't even thought to ask you that you'd like to add to what you've already said in terms of your association with the theater? I know that you were on the board. You saw it from both sides, didn't you, from behind the lights and on the other side, too. Anything?
Well, in fact, I was very hesitant about going on the board. For years, people have wanted me to, but I always felt I'm part of the profession.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe that sounds
it was
a
hard
little
for
out.
You.
Yes, and I maybe because I was so close to it.
But as I recall, Shirley, your expertise and your wide range of knowledge on plays, both classical and modern, was of great assistance to the theater board.
Well, that's where I like to use some of my knowledge was in play reading and selection, because that really is kind of the backbone, the structure from year to year that you have to base your quality on. And you always aim for the best, but you cannot over attempt, not for the whole season, because you won't make it. You have to allow that maybe you can't get the greatest cast for each show, or that you will have bad weather and have to hold over.
The community theater has continued to grow and is certainly, I would think, one of the arts groups that perhaps at this point has the least financial problem. What do you attribute their growth through the years to? I mean, what was essential?
Well, essentially, it's the people. Give or take whatever you have, because sometimes you've had good, bad, or indifferent people as a guest director, or sometimes as a production that has been performed. But what makes a theater or any organization is essentially the community. And they wanted their theater. And so they were there with their support. And at times, maybe it got too expensive and they couldn't afford it. And there were too many other pressing things. And so now I regret that the theater had to resort to gambling to have some proceeds. But at the same time, I'm grateful at least there was something like that they could get to keep going.
Sure. Shirley, do you think there have been any changes in our community which have had a particular impact on the theater?
Oh, I think several things. The thing is, one thing I'm sorry about is that we do not have more professional theater companies come through. Now, years ago, Fargo was on the mainliners, and you would get great plays through. And this is always good for people to see, and especially the youth. And even back in the 50s, all the Lyceum series at the three colleges usually would each have one play or musical, and now it's seldom that something is performed.
Why do you feel that is true? Do you think that the people who arrange those series feel that we have maybe enough theater?
I think costs have gone out of sight.
Oh, I see. Sure.
Because the ticket to a Broadway show today is outrageous.
Out of sight, yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, Shirley, you've had so many experiences in the theater, and I can remember seeing you on many occasions, and I guess I'd like to ask you, what is your most memorable experience in theater?
In Fargo, you mean?
In Fargo, yes.
In Fargo. It's hard telling. One of them would certainly be playing the Empress, grandmother, in Anastasia, because I was in my middle 20s or so at the point, and she's 77 years old. And my husband told me one day that I was going to have to play it, because the only actress in town that he would give the role to couldn't play it at that point was Peg Ameth.
Mm-hmm.
She was one of your finest.
You know? Oh, yes.
And she was going to be out of town with her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And he had, my husband had found a fine young actress, Marlo Arnold, who had been up at the University of Grand Forks. And she could play Anastasia. So that left me with grandmother. And I said, you know, I've got 50 years to do this role. And I said, I'm ripe for Anastasia. And so anyway, I played it. After about a week and a half of rehearsal, Peg Ameth came down and volunteered to play a walk-on bit of a peasant woman.
I remember that.
Because she found she didn't have to be out of town.
Hmm.
And we were deadlining the show at that point. So anyway, grin and bear it. Anyway, beautiful Peg. And, oh, and incidentally, the down-and-out peasant man with her was Don Bishop. And so anyway, a couple of years later, my husband did Mad Women of Shiloh, because he knew he had a few good character women around. And, of course, the Mad Woman was Peg Ameth.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked very hard on her costumes. And we did everything we could there with makeup and all the rest of it, and she was gorgeous. And it's very funny, when she was selling her home some years ago now,
mm-hmm.
she called me over because she had a few little plates and saucers and miscellany she wanted to give me, and also a few things out of her wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was red gown kind of thing, made out of corduroy, that looks good from a proscenium stage, that she had paid for at a theater auction when the theater was so desperate for funds.
And so you were kind of recycling.
And so she gave me that because she couldn't use it really anymore, but she had such wonderful memories, she wanted to keep it. She gave me that, and she gave me a wonderful old fur coat from the 40s with the big padded shoulders, you know, like Joan Crawford would wear.
Yes. Well, Peg was one of many, certainly, but as you pointed out, the theater is made up of basically people, right?
Mm-hmm. they are what made us take the job, and when we moved away in 1960, we came back in 65 for my husband to go into teaching. But we always were going to do some theater because mm-hmm. it's part of us.
Part of you.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, like I said, it's the people. Mm-hmm. They're the difference.
And if it's in your blood, it's in your blood, isn't it?
And June, you know, you're not saying a word about yourself, but I believe it was you and Bev Helbison who started this theater.
Well, somebody else is going to interview me, Shirley.
Okay.
But I just want to thank you an awful lot for making my job very easy. Goodness sakes, you don't even have to ask you questions. You answer them without. Thank you just an awfully lot.
No, you're welcome.